Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's wonderful to be gathered together with you all this morning as we come into our Father's presence. It is a crazy week. There's been so much going on. I kind of like feel like I'm partially here and partially other places. I don't even know what's going on. But one thing I can say is that God is here and he's in control even if we're not. Right? And so that's what we're going to rest in. We're going to rest in the God who is over us all. And the sermon today is going to be looking at end time stuff, which is really exciting and fun, although it doesn't look like it when you first read the text. So when you read the text today, it's going to blow your hair back a little bit, but don't worry, we'll talk about it. And it's all good in the end. All right? That's what you have to remember. And so, folks, as we gather here this morning, as we gather in our Father's presence, as we're here to receive the love and the forgiveness that Jesus has earned for us on the cross, let us begin, remembering the day that the Holy Spirit brought us into this family of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We come before you today, setting aside our cares, our worries, our things that otherwise might distract us from just sitting at your feet and listening to you. Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice, for you are the good shepherd, and you guide us where we ought to go. Help us to follow this day where you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
One confession, one Thank you. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. It is my privilege to read the first scripture reading this morning. From the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 11 to 25. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thus concludes our first scripture reading this morning.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains. You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues on account of me. You will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Now this time, invite the children forward for a children's message.
Me, so I can see all your eyes this morning. I am so happy that everybody is here this morning. It is great to have you here. All right. Few more, Miss Georgia coming down. All right. Well, I brought something with me this morning. I thought I'd play a little game. So we all know the Bluey game, Keepy Uppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You guys get to stay seated. I'm gonna play first. Okay. So you guys are just gonna stay seated. And I've got some balloons here. So for those of you who don't know, bluey keepy uppy, it's keep the balloons in the air. All right, here we go. I'm going to try. Oh, that wasn't very good. I'm going to try one more time. Let me see here. Let's see. This is not going very well. You know what? I wonder if I had some helpers, if it might go. Can I get Ava and Georgia and Maggie? Come on up. All right. Do you think if I have help, do you think we can all do it better together if we encourage each other?
Yeah.
All right. So we might need some help from you guys, too. Can you guys help encourage us? Do you know what encourage means?
Yeah.
It means to tell others. Say, you can do it. You can do it. So can I have your help by doing that? All right. So I'm going to give you guys some the balloons. And all together, here, let's come over here. We're going to stay in a group so we can try and keep these up together. All right. Are you ready to be our encouragers?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Did so much better. Thank you. All right, have a seat. We definitely kept the balloons in the air longer when we were together, right? Rather than when I tried to do it on my own. That reminds me of the Bible verse that we just heard. Are you ready? Let's listen to this. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know what the Bible is telling us there? It's telling us that we need to encourage each other to meet together. Are we meeting together at church today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that we can all be here together. And can we all show love towards one another?
Yeah,
that's what our Bible verse is telling us today. It's telling us that we should love one another and we need to encourage one another and we need to come to church and be together, right?
Yeah.
Can you fold your hands and pray with me? Can you repeat after me? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For showing me. How to love one another.
Help me.
To encourage others.
And to show love.
I love you, Jesus. Amen.
All right. And the children are all going, hopefully with parental approval, to a little worship. And the rest of us are going to open God's word here today. So, did it live up to the billing? Was that reading, like, intense? I mean, it was kind of funny because earlier this week, Megan came by my office and said, so, Pastor Bob, what's the text for this weekend? And I said, well, I was just reading it. Let me read it to you. And then she picked the other reading. Yeah, there's a lot in there, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty intense stuff. It's like, you know, but in order to really understand it and really kind of get our head around what it is that Jesus is trying to say in the middle of all this, I think it's really important to understand what the question was that he was answering. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of an important thing because Jesus gave a really, really scary answer with a whole bunch of unpleasant things in it. But it's kind of important to know what question he was answering for us to make any sense of it. And so remember, the question that he was answering was this. The disciples were walking past the temple. And now this was Herod's temple. This was an amazing edifice. And this was in a city where a lot of architectural wonders had been built. It was at a time when Israel was, the Roman Empire was in full swing, and there was this incredible building throughout the empire, but Jerusalem was no different. And Herod had built this beautiful temple, and the temple was just getting finished up, And the disciples were, as I'm sure many of the people in Israel were, just walking around in awe of this incredible building. And I really feel like a lot of it, my family and I went on a vacation to Washington, D.C., you know? And we walk around the National Mall and we see these buildings. And they are enormous and they are made out of marble, and they just exude permanence, you know? Like, this is it. Our country is powerful, that we have authority, that we've got this under control, and it just makes you feel like, yeah, things are as they should be, right? And Jesus was telling his disciples, don't feel like that. Because here's the situation. All of the buildings that you see in front of you right now are going to be destroyed. There will not be one stone left upon another. And guess how long it took? About 70 years. And the Jews rebelled against Rome. And Rome came back with a vengeance. And they tore the temple down. And because the way they built the temple, they actually had gold in the stones and in the masonry. And the only way to get all the gold out of the building, which the Romans kind of valued, as everybody does, right? They had to completely tear the temple down and remove every stone. So how permanent was it after all? Not so much. And you know, we look at our world today and we see so many things that seem so permanent, right? I mean, we see our government, we see our military, we see the buildings around us, we see the towns, we see everything, all the world in which we live, and we live in this sort of place in our brain where all of this is never going away. Anybody ever read a history book? Every one of those nations felt like that at one point. They felt like they were permanent. They felt like what we are living now is going to be forever. Even the Roman Empire, how many different empires are throughout history? And all of them felt permanent. And all of them fell. And Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, don't put your faith in the wrong thing. Don't put your faith in the wrong place. Don't set up expectations that I have not promised. Don't put words in my mouth and make it look like this is something that's going to last forever, because it's not. And so the disciples come to him later and they are saying, well, give us signs. How do we know when all these things are going to happen? And Jesus, as usual, doesn't answer the question. He answers the question they should have asked. You know what I'm saying? Because they were like, how are we going to know? How are we going to like be on the inside track? It's almost like, you know, knowing ahead of time how things are going to turn out. I mean, if we could do that, we could win a lot of bets, right? And get in sports and all that stuff. But we don't know how things are going to turn out. And Jesus was telling, he didn't answer the question. The disciples asked, how are we going to know? And Jesus said, look, here's how things are going to be. There's going to be a lot of stressful things that are going to be coming up. He said, watch out. Nobody's going to deceive you, because many are going to come in my name saying that I am he. I am your savior. I am the one that's going to rescue you. I am the one that's going to make the world right. You know what I'm saying? Because Jesus, he came the first time to die for us, right? And then he went back to heaven and he told us, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to set the world right. All the things that are wrong are going to be set right. And finally, on that day, things are going to be fixed. But we have so many people who are selling us a fix now. Have you heard this? Look, did we not just go through a presidential election? Yeah. And everybody is trying to sell, if you elect me, I will fix everything. Please don't buy that. Because I don't care what your name is. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much experience you have in politics. I don't care how powerful you believe that you are and what amazing leader you are. You can't fix everything. Remember the reason that we're in this situation already. The reason that our world is such a mess. The reason that we have the storms and the sickness and the famines and all the hardships and difficulties of life. The reason that my back hurts the day after working out in the flood area. The reason that we are experiencing all of these problems is because sin is in the world. Right? I mean, remember all the way back to Eden when God created and everything was perfect. Everything was as it should be. People lived together in unity and they lived together with God in a perfect relationship and everything was as it was supposed to be. Even nature was gentle and fed the people that God created. It was an amazing situation. And then sin entered the world and threw everything off. And here's the problem, sin. And we're not going to be able to fix all of this. We will struggle as God's people against the effects of sin. When we see injustice, which is an effect of sin in the world, we will work against injustice. When we see hunger in the world, which is an effect of sin in the world, we will fight against hunger. When we see infirmity, sickness, injuries, we will fight against those things and do the very best we can to set things right because God has put us in this world in part to love each other and to take care of each other and to make it so that people don't have to suffer any more than is absolutely necessary. It's part of the deal. But are we going to fix it? We sometimes have like encouraging moments, you know, like when they discovered antibiotics. Was that not a cool thing? I mean, did that not relieve an awful lot of suffering? Did it not make people live longer and better and not lose limbs and not, I mean, all the things that antibiotics has done, but do people still get sick? Are all bacteria treatable? Did we fix everything? Did we set it right the way God Jesus has planned or promised to do when he returns? And so we have to be careful about our expectations, folks. The world is messed up with sin. It will always be messed up with sin. Our task is to manage the evil in the world and to try to alleviate the suffering of the people God loves. But it's not to make it perfect. There's only one person who's going to do that. And that's Jesus when he comes back on the last day. Right? And we go back to the reading and we say, what else is going to happen? Well, nations are going to rise up against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. Seen that? I mean, do we have wars? Do we have threats of more wars? I mean, the world is full of this stuff, right? And the question is, does that mean that the end is coming? That Jesus is coming back really soon? Well, haven't we always had wars? So what does that mean? Well, what Jesus says here, he goes, these are just the beginnings of the birth pains. That's not the time yet. And he says, what else is there? Oh, natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. Seen those? Not that long ago, right? We're still in hurricane season. There's still more coming. Are we going to be able to figure out a way to end all of that suffering? I mean, but are people trying to sell a solution to all that suffering? You see how this works? The thing is this, we have to be careful with our expectations. We are not God. We are not Jesus. We can't fix all of this. What we can do is love the people around us and help them and bring relief to the people who are suffering because of natural disasters. This we can do. But we don't follow somebody trying to sell an answer. Because the answer is sin. And there's only one that fixes the problem of sin. What else we got going on here? We got earthquakes. One of the things that we love about our world today is justice. You know what I'm saying? We have a justice system, and it is not a perfect justice system, but it's better than most, right? And so we love the idea of justice. We all have this idea of justice in our head. And when our justice system does something that offends our idea of justice, we get annoyed with it. We don't like it, right? Well, here's the thing. That idea of justice that's in our head is in our head because we were created to live in a perfect world. And we don't anymore. And so is that idea of justice going to be offended a lot? Yeah, it will. And what can we do about it? We can struggle for justice. We can struggle to make sure that people are treated fairly, that arguments between peoples are worked out in the most equitable way possible so that everybody receives what they need in order to live. And we do the very best we can, but is anybody going to be able to fix this and make it so everybody is living perfectly fairly all the time? Because in order for that to happen, once again, what would have to be taken out of the world? Sin. And who's the only one that is dealing with the sin problem? Jesus. That's it. And so until he comes back to set everything right, do we expect everything to be perfect? No, we don't. In fact, do we have Jesus' promise and prediction that this is not going to be perfect? Yeah, and then it says this. Justice is going to be really messed up, so much so that Christians are going to be arrested because of their faith, and that they're going to be put on trial, both in the synagogue, which is the church of the day, right, and in front of governors, which is like the court system of the day. And do we ever see that? Yeah, there was just a lady in England, right, who was arrested for praying silently on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. I mean, does this happen? Absolutely it happens. There are people who are persecuted because of their faith all throughout the world and at all times, even today. It is not uncommon. And what do we do about it? Do we try to fix the justice system so that people like that are going to be taken care of? And in fact, that lady did get, not only was she found not guilty, but she was also rewarded like £13,000 because of her rights being violated like that. So, I mean, can we set things right? But will we be able to make everything work right all the time? And so here's the thing. Watch your expectations, because expectations, if you expect something that God didn't promise, you're certain to be disappointed. You understand? Because there are so many times in life when you, and it just goes on like this, over and over again, it says that you're going to be, brother is going to betray brother, father is child, children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Have we ever seen that in history? Most recently, World War II Germany, where families literally turned each other in. I mean, here's the truth is, our expectations in this world are that this world is going to be hard. You understand? And it's hard for a reason. It's hard because there is sin in the world. Jesus came to earn forgiveness for all of us, right? But he didn't set everything right yet. And the question is, what is God waiting for? I mean, why doesn't he just set everything right? Why doesn't he just take the evil people out of the world and ball them up and throw them away and just keep us good people? See the problem? I mean, not only are we not actually that good, but what about the people who have yet to believe? What about the people who are living in sin now, living evil, living selfish, living destructive, living at the cost of others and being just bad people, right? But the Holy Spirit has plans for them. I remember remember Paul? When he was going around persecuting Christians, arresting them to put them on trial? I mean, wasn't he bad? I mean, what if God had at that point said, I'm going to take him out of the world. He's evil. He's got to go. But God had a plan for him. And you got to understand, the reason God's waiting is not because he doesn't care. It's not because he's not loving. It's not. It's because he loves the people who have not been saved yet, and he wants to give more time for them to come to faith. That's the reason he's waiting. And so here's the situation. What are we supposed to do with all this? I mean, how are we supposed to live in a world with all this mess and all this sin and all this affective sin and all this suffering and all this pain? How are we supposed to live in this world? And here's what we do. We look forward to the day when Jesus is coming again. We know that this time is going to be hard, and that's expected. It's the deal that God revealed to us. He said, this is how it is. But our hope is this. We look forward to the day when we will stand before our Jesus in a place where all things are made new, where heaven and earth is remade, and we live in a place with no more sin, with no more suffering, no more pain, no more injustice, no more hunger, no more disease, no more natural disasters, no more war, no more selfishness, no more lies. A perfect place. We wait for that day, because on that day we're going to be having everything that we've been looking forward to all this time. All things will be made new, and we will live in peace. And I love the word peace in the Bible. You know, that whole idea of shalom in the Old Testament, you know, when they greet each other in the Old Testament and they said shalom, and the other person responds shalom, and it's just this beautiful thing. And what they're doing, the idea of peace is the idea of all things are right with you. All things. Your finances, your health, your relationships in your family, your relationships at work, everything is set right. And that is what we look forward to on the last day. And we look forward to it because of this. Because Jesus died on the cross for you. Because he took your sin on himself and paid the full penalty of that sin, that he has paid everything and that you owe nothing. And the Spirit has come and put faith in you through this amazing gift of baptism, through his word, that faith has been put into our hearts, and we receive the gift of salvation because of what God is doing in us, that we are looking forward to that amazing day because our God loved us that much. And he says this, hold on till the end. You know, it's funny, our school theme this year is endure. Nothing is right in this world. Have I mentioned this yet? That this endure, you can hardly read it. It's because it didn't look like that on a computer screen. You know what I'm saying? When you printed it, it looked different. But on the very top here, it says endure. That's the theme for our school year. And it's such an important thing to instill into the hearts of children and us. Our job in this world, as we work to help each other, to love each other, to actively love each other by actually sacrificing of ourselves, our time, our money, our everything, so that other people can live better, and that other people are going to be able to hear the message of salvation and be saved. That's our job. And we're doing it in the context of a messed up, sinful world. And our job is to endure. That we're to hold on. Hold on until he comes and look forward to the day of his coming. Trust in the God who is in control of all things. Know that he loves us. Know that he protects us. Know that he gives us all we need for each day, our daily bread, right? To pray to him, to trust in him, to love him, and to know that he is there for us. That he is holding on to us even more than we're holding on to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God. A God who has loved your people, a God who has sacrificed yourself for your people, who gave up everything so that we might live. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, while we live in this world. Help us, Lord, not to have false hope of false promises, of false solutions to the problems of sin, Lord, but that we cling to you and look to you as the only solution to the evil in the world. Help us, Lord, to endure, and help us, Lord, to love each other fiercely. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Lord, in this sinful world, there is so much that is broken. Help us to turn our eyes to you as the solution to the problems. Help us to wait patiently for your timing. As we wait, stir up our hearts to tell people the truth about you. Help us to encourage our fellow believers as they fight the good fight of faith. God, you are the God of peace, of shalom, of setting all things right. We thank you that you have set right our relationship with you. Help us to live each day believing and acknowledging this truth in our lives. Lord, we pray for our church, for St. Mark's, for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for all Christians all around the world. I pray that you would guide us. I pray that you would help us to share the truth with others. For we know not the time that you are returning, but we know you are. We have faith that you are with us. So help us to reach those who do not yet know you, who do not yet believe in you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
And now once again, our God has come to us in his body and blood. And through this body and blood, through this gift, and through the faith that the Holy Spirit has placed in us, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as God's promise is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And now receive the blessing of our Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Let's sing the final song together as we get ready to go our way. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
All right, you can be seated again. Thank you for joining in on that. In case you're wondering what you just saw, this is, again, our Quest students, our 3rd through 8th graders. It's a project-based learning that we're doing over at St. Mark's. And this was one of the projects that they have developed now. And so instead of what had previously been the format for announcements, my understanding is that this, what you just saw, is a glimpse of what is now the daily announcements. And it's all written. It's produced entirely by the students. They're the ones who have this project, and they're running with it. And so we're excited for both this and what is to come, as well as the future projects that they're going to do. We just wanted to give you a little taste of just some of the things that the amazing stuff that we're doing over at St. Mark's School. At this time, I'd like to invite any students who are going to Sunday school. You may go over and meet with our DCE Lauren Bates to go over to Sunday school at this time. Very few other announcements. One is Operation Christmas Child. Again, the little shoe boxes. Today is the last Sunday for turning it in. And so really, if you forgot it today, you still have a chance. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you can bring it in. And we'll gladly receive it. And we'll get it to the distribution center where it needs to get to. So if you forgot today, please, if you're able to bring it tomorrow morning, that'd be great. As well, there's an insert in your bulletin for Giving Tuesday. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Take a look at that. That should tell you everything that you need to see as far as supporting our Cornerstone ministry here. And lastly, again, a reminder, we have a family meeting today, so there's no adult Bible classes today, but very shortly, maybe like in 5 minutes, you know, get enough time to stretch, go use the bathroom, whatever, we're going to have our family meeting. That's our voters meeting, where we get to hear about the happenings of the church, and as well, we have a couple of things that are getting voted on today, so encourage all of you to please stick around for that. Otherwise, thank you for coming today, and I pray you have a blessed week. Go in peace and serve the Lord.